And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 276. Coming at you on a Thursday evening, which means it is a Fab preview week 26. Fab, two Fab periods to go before the end of the fantasy baseball season. Before we get to all that, though, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Definitely happy to be talking baseball with you tonight.
Yes.
Leave it at that. But no, doing well. Like I said last week, gonna miss these. One more after this. These are probably my favorite show to do, but we'll have other stuff in store.
We will have other stuff in store. That is true. Before you know it, we'll be prepping for 2026 and continuing 2026 drafts that we've already started and so much more before all that gets rocking and rolling. And we'll have you covered here. We don't stop, unlike other people. So keep that in mind. We go year-round, pretty much two episodes every week, barring something crazy going on. So buckle up is the best way I can say it on that one.
Absolutely.
All right. Want to talk FPAS before the last price decrease or no?
Just a final reminder. I think they extended it through the weekend. Baseball HQ did, so you can sign up for First Pitch Arizona. I think it's $125 off registration, like a 25% off, something like that. All the information is on the site, but it's fun. We've got a few first timers that are joining us for golf this year. We're going to be doing our own kind of meetup, but everything else that is a part of First Pitch. So we've gone on about it plenty of times at this point. If this is the first time you're hearing about First Pitch Arizona, hit us up with questions. But outside of that, yeah, just final reminder, if you want to save some money on registration and you're on the fence, head over to Baseball HQ, sign up, and we will see you out there in less than 2 months, man. Actually, like probably what, 7 weeks from tonight? Something like that.
Yep, weeks from tonight. We will already be done with our round of golf.
It'll be the golf day.
15 noons deep. Welcome reception at the ballpark will be over. We'll be stumbling to the bar and hoping they haven't run out of beer yet. So, it'll be
which a you full joke, but they did run out of beer last year. They last literally year. Did run out of beer. There was one tap open out of, I think, on 12. Sunday, On Monday morning.
On the bright side is now that they have room blocks at the hotel next door, we have two hotel bars technically.
We can spill over.
Take advantage of.
Oh, God. Yes. I didn't think about that.
If all else fails,
we're like, here they come. Here they come.
So I'm trying to find a positive in all of this. We have two hotel bars to take advantage of and see how things can escalate even quicker. Yeah. All right, a little bit of news here. I have one IL discussion to make here, and then we'll get into the Fab. Luis Garcia, we kind of speculated it on Tuesday. It looked nasty. He went to the IL with a right elbow injury, obviously further testing to determine the extent of the injury. I'd be shocked if it's not surgically repaired at some point in time, but we'll see. AJ Bluebaugh is the rumored replacement in the rotation, Ryan, right now for the weekend as of Thursday's recording. They have not announced their Friday starter, and they got Framber Valdez and Brown going over the weekend, not necessarily in that order. Things could obviously change. Like Hunter Brown could be the guy going this weekend, but there's an opening this weekend is what I'm trying to say. And they have not officially announced it, but the rumor is AJ Bluebaugh, number 69, will be taking the ball for the Houston Astros.
And I think immediately becomes Fab relevant, right? Like anytime you are pitching on the Astros, we've liked AJ Bluebaugh. We talked about him. I don't know. I'm making up a number, but maybe week 8 Fab preview. We've been talking about him for a little while now and pitching very well on the surface. Not so much as well skills wise, but I think Bluebaugh is a pretty good pitcher. And as like you said, as it currently stands, would line up to face Texas next Wednesday. Which is a nice start, even though the Rangers are kind of hot lately.
Yep, then the at the A's, maybe not. So it might be a one-week thing for Bluebaugh, but time will tell. He looked good out of the bullpen for 3 to 4 innings a few days ago to kind of get his feet wet once again with the Astros. Something to keep in mind, see how he pitches on Friday. If it is Friday, he makes the start for the Astros and see where it goes from there.
And see how many pitches he throws as well, because, yeah, being stretched out is probably, especially if you're needing Ks and wins, you want to see a pitch count 70s, 80s at least for Friday, and then hopefully it builds up from there.
Yep, just like we saw Ryan Weathers had a pitch count from 80 to 85, went five strong.
Yep.
That's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for, the sweet spot, because right now you probably need wins. If you're playing the ratio games, you're playing with other guys than AJ Blueboff, most likely.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, let's get to it. Nice, quick, and simple here. Week 26, Fab. Two more weeks to go. Let's see if we can rock and roll. Eventually, by week 27, we'll have this ready for you guys, because this is what we do here. I thought you had it earlier, too.
It's bad, man. No, we were deep in conversation before the show, and then I just clicked the wrong button. It's just a disaster.
Yes,
and now I clicked the wrong freaking planner. Hold on.
There it is. We got this. Speaking of which, as Uncle Ted in the chat says here, we mentioned it in the Discord, Anthony Santander homered in his first rehab game today. So that's a plus. But what do you got for us when we're looking at next week's schedule?
All right. Let's do the highlights here. A lot of 7-game weeks. Basically, the entire AL East plays 7 outside of the Boston Red Sox. You've got Cleveland, Minnesota with 7. The Braves, Nationals with 7. Cubs, Reds with 7. Dodgers and Giants. We got a 4-game Dodgers Giants set next weekend
in LA. They got 3 at San Francisco this week. It's 7 games in the next 10 days.
Let's go.
Yeah. And the Giants are a game and a half out of the wild card. Thank you, Philadelphia.
That's 7 pregame lineup card sessions with Bob Melvin and Dave Roberts, Bubba.
Two of the worst managers in all of baseball. Yes. What could possibly go wrong?
All right. Let's see. Ballpark wise, we have the Sacramento A's on the road all week. They are at Boston, at Pittsburgh, so that's not ideal for any A's that you have. The Rays are at home for 7, which is nice. However, it is 3 lefties, 4 righties, and kind of a tough schedule. It's Toronto and Boston starters there. Cincinnati, I believe, they are split. So they are at St. Louis for 3. They host the Cubs for 4 next weekend. And then Coors Field, last but not least, the Rockies are home all week against against Marlins and Angels pitchers. Wow. So that could be a nice week to target any Rockies that we may talk about once we get down there. I think those are the major ballpark ones.
Those are the major ballpark ones. As you were talking, I'm having scary situations with Zach Neto right now. He's staying in the game. He swung, hurt his hand while swinging. It looked like a hand. I've seen that with hamates in the past. He's staying in the game, but it did not look good for a second there. So we'll monitor that one for you and keep that up to date, because you kind of need any base it up the middle. So I guess we're good. Okay. Whew.
Man, you are ahead of me. Good.
That looks scary for a second there. All right. Let's get to it. You mentioned the goodies, the game, that Rocky series, man, those could be electric or 2-0 with those two playing.
Well, the flip side of that Rockies thing too is the easiest schedule of the week is the Miami Marlins. So they get 3 at Colorado. They face I guess I'll call him my guy, Kyle Freeland.
Yeah,
some dude named Brown, and then Gordon, and then 3 at Texas. So 9% K minus walk for the pitchers facing the Miami Marlins this week. So that's next week. That's a nice,
pretty sweet schedule
option.
Anyway. All right, let's get to it. Baltimore Orioles. They start the week with 7 games, 3 at the White Sox, 4 at home versus the Bronx Bombers. 3 lefties and 4 righties, which makes it quite tough to stream anybody in Baltimore. Tyler O'Neill is expected back on Friday from the injured list for however long. We'll see. Gary Sanchez is rehabbing. He could be back next week as well. Why? Who knows? But that's kind of the main gist when it comes to the hitting side of things, unless there's anything else in Baltimore hitting-wise that you are interested in.
Not really. I mean, you pick up Tyler O'Neill in most formats, I think, especially if you need some power. While Tyler O'Neill is healthy, there's some potential there. I think the biggest thing is, like, who loses playing time once Tyler O'Neill comes back. I don't think they can sit Jeremiah Jackson the way he's playing, and you typically don't sit the guy who's hitting second in the order. So I think if you've got Beavers, I don't even know if it is a platoon. We'll see.
You might be right.
If you have Dylan Beavers in deeper leagues, I would be looking at, I'm not saying drop Beavers. Maybe let's see what happens. I guess we'll get three full lineups with the Orioles with Tyler O'Neill in them this weekend. But if you have Dylan Beavers, you may want to have a backup plan at outfield for next week. That playing time could dry up, assuming Tyler O'Neill can stay healthy for 10 days straight, which I don't know.
Not that easy for him, that's for sure. So that's a good call. That makes it interesting. When Gary comes back, you would think Basile still catches and Gary goes back to his DH role, which Mountcastle has, so that's why I don't even know why they're rushing Gary Sanchez back, but I digress. I know there's a pitcher we want to talk about, so I'll give you the floor on this one.
Tyler Wells.
Tyler Wells? Okay. Tyler Wells. He's 25% rostered. He's had two really good starts since joining the Orioles rotation.
Two-step.
And heading the next week's got the – well, right now Bradish has the two-step. Wells has at the White Sox because they have a six-man.
Oh, they've got six-man. That's right.
Yep. Bastards. But he gets at the White Sox and then at home versus Tampa Bay. Those are his final two starts, both very nice starts if you want to go roster Tyler Wells.
Yep, absolutely. And he's not going to get you Ks, which, well, you never know in one outing or whatever. But if you're bunching ratios, that's a really good spot to take Tyler Wells. Yep.
Anything else on the Baltimore Orioles?
No. I don't think so.
All right. The Boston Red Sox, they have six games this week, three at home versus the A's, and they go to Tampa for three. Two lefties and four righties on the week, and Tampa's one lefty and two righties. You're thinking of streaming just for the Tampa series. What do you got here with Boston? A team that is, they're doing their thing, but they didn't do what I'd hoped they would have done in Sacramento, if that makes sense.
Kind of. I don't have much on the hitter side. Do you? Do you have any bats that...
No. But between the two lefty, four righty combo and then just the options, there's really like Nathaniel Lowe, I like a lot, but he's going to sit for two games. Just keep that in mind. Like, it still could be a good stream for the week. And then Tampa, he get two starts in Tampa, something to potentially think about. Let's see even who Tampa could throw that weekend. It looks like it would be, Adrian Hauser and Pepio. So, yeah, one's good. One's going to maybe give it up. So that'd be the only one, but it's not the most ideal situation.
Yeah, agreed. I think the biggest questions with Boston is on the pitching side. Like, so glad I spent what little fab money I had left on Peyton Tolley to pitch two innings per start. That's great. And then this other dude who I'd never heard of, Connelly Early, up and just dominates. So, I mean, I would have to think Early keeps his spot in the rotation. And I mean, I guess we talked about this a little bit on Tuesday, and there's some type of combination between Tolley and Kyle Harrison, who's finally up.
Yeah, it's just a weird dynamic. So there's lots of layers to what you pretty much threw out there in your Cliff Notes. First off, when the first fab period of Tolley, this is why I had Tolley ranked at the bottom of my list of options, because of the way they would lock him into the rotation. They said they will use him either in the bullpen or in the rotation, is what they said out the gate. And then Tolley only opened on Wednesday. It was because it was the first time in his entire professional career he's gone on 4 days rest, so they wanted to take care of him, baby him, basically. Now, to your Connelly Early spark, there are some other options here that could make it interesting, because Alex Cora has flat-out said no matter what, Giolito, Crochet, and Bayo are locked into the rotation. And with the Boston Red Sox schedule coming up, they have an off day Monday, which means they technically could skip Early and go Giolito Tuesday, Bayo Wednesday, Crochet Thursday. And then you have the conversation, does Early, Tolley, I guess that whole thing could happen then. Because right now Early is projected for a two-step. It might be one in Tampa. We need to find out, basically, before we get too excited here. And I don't know when we'll find out, Ryan. That might just be a jump you have to make and be prepared for the worst.
So if you need pitching, knowing what you know right now, if you're a listener out there, you need pitching. Are you going, Bubba, are you going all in on Connelly Early?
All in, no. Yeah. Like, I'd rather go all in on Tyler Wells.
Okay. Just because you know.
He's in.
You know he's in. Gotcha.
He's in. But, fair. I think Connell Early's awesome. I think he's better than Tyler Wells.
Yes.
But there is, like, you have 2 weeks left. You only have a couple dollars to spend. Like, you need the starts. And if you want to go full risk, like the Guilds talks about and whatnot, I get it. Go for the gusto. but just be prepared to be completely let down at the same time.
And not Ryan Gusto. Just go for
the Gusto. Ryan Gusto. That, because that got us very let down right out the gate. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But I like Connelly Early a lot. I would say, like, you know, if you have a few dollars, throw it out there, but it's tough for me to go crazy for him.
No, it's fair. It's valid. Totally valid. The flip side is if Connelly Early does stick in rotation and go, I mean, we do what he just did in his debut. That's good stuff there. So we'll see.
Well, and if they don't tweak the rotation, he gets three starts. It's
right.
Home versus the A's, at Tampa versus Detroit. Like, that's outstanding. That's one more start than Tyler Wells. That's what I'm saying. It's a risk. And
they need him. I mean, they're three and a half games back of the Jays. They're half game back of the Yankees. So
on paper, he should be starting. So go for it. But at the same time, be prepared for the mumble jumbled mess. Because not to mention, Tolle could be a part of it. Early could be limited. Harrison's still there. They brought him up to piggyback. They have not sent him down. So, like, for now, he's in the mix of just options is where I'm getting at. They have options in Boston right now. So brace yourself. I hope Early stays in the rotation, and I hope we find out before Fab runs on Sunday.
Hope's a good thing.
Yes, hope springs eternal, they say. I believe that's a term. It's kind of like the apple cart.
Even in September.
Yes.
The apple cart.
Someone used that one on me on Sunday, and I laughed. I laughed so hard. I was like,
the apple cart?
I said, you have no idea.
Someone in real life said to you, upset the apple cart?
It don't upset the apple cart. Yes. I started laughing. They're like, what's so funny? Like, I said, you have no idea. You have no idea what's so funny right now.
That's incredible. That's wow.
Because I hang out with olds, right? That's my problem. Yes. All right. Speaking of olds, the New York Yankees, they have 7 games this week, all on the road, 3 at Minnesota, 4 at the Orioles, 1 lefty and 6 righties. It's kind of standard procedure with these boys right now.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate from the Tuesday show. I mean, Jason Dominguez widely started in main events. So just want, if you did not listen to the Tuesday show, you only listen to the Fab previews or whatever at this point. Jason Dominguez should not be starting on your teams because he's just not playing one start over the last 6. One guy who is playing a little bit more is Jose Caballero. Stole 2 bases, I believe, on Thursday because Anthony Volpe apparently is playing with some type of major shoulder injury.
Torn labrum. In his shoulder.
So that's it's not great. But if you need steals like Jose Caballero, I think he's pretty widely rostered. 88% in NFBC 12 teamers. But if Jose Caballero plays every day, like, look out. He's already stolen a bunch of bags not playing every day. And he might
start what he did last year. A bunch.
Yeah. So
yeah. Well, it was crazy watching. I was watching a lot of that game tonight in New York, and there was one where they fouled the ball like 3 times in a row, and Caballero was running on every one of them. He wasn't even hiding it. He's like,
he
just runs.
Yep.
But the Volpe thing, real quick, let's hit on that for a second, because it was earlier in the week where I always want to call him Joe Girardi, but it's Aaron Boone, basically said the shortstop position is kind of up in the air right now, is what they said. I'm like, okay, interesting. Interesting talk. And then today the news comes out that Volpe's playing with a partially torn labrum that should not put him on the IL and may require surgery in the offseason. Like, okay, that doesn't sound great. Then more news comes out that this is a recent MRI that showed more tearing than the first MRI. Then another report comes out later that during the All-Star break, Volpe had a cortisone shot in the shoulder for the original tear in the labrum. You just go down the list of things. He's been dealing with this for a couple months now. Very interesting stuff with Anthony Volpe, who's been the highlight of memes and trash talk for his horrific defense all season long.
Yeah. 94% owned in 12s, 60% started Anthony Volpe.
And circling back to your Jason Dominguez, you said you should not be starting him. You can cut him in 12s and maybe even in 15s.
Well, if you're not starting, you're cutting.
Yeah.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind. It's not even just a sit thing. You can probably cut Jason Dominguez if you're still praying that he gets something together.
Yep.
Anything on the mound? They seem pretty much locked in lockstep there as well.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing on the pitching side.
All right, so the Tampa Bay, 7 games at home this week. Probably the final 7 games of the season at home, now that I think about it. They are on the road for the entire final. This is the final 7 in Tampa at George Steinbrenner Field. Remember that, folks. They get four against Toronto, which is a big series, and then three against Boston. Some big games overall. And my God, well, it's because early's numbers. Never mind. It's not 28.5% gain to walk. I'm like, oh, okay. That's because the young guns in there.
Yeah.
But it's three lefties and four righties. So good luck streaming your Rays.
Yeah, it is tough. It is tough to go Mangum style, to steal your phrase, even though he will get the four.
It shows you how much things changed. I'm sorry, but it was when we did this on Tuesday night, it was two lefties and five righties. It's already shifted.
Yeah. Yep. Probably because of the damn Red Sox. Change everything. Because the Toronto part is very, very concrete. So yeah, I don't have much. Like you can still roll with Jake Mangum. Four games of Mangum will be still pretty nice, but that's about it. I don't have anything there. And really on the pitching side either, there's just not a lot of movement. Ian Seymour gave up. We did not pitch that well today against, I think, the White Sox. So yeah, I don't have much on the pitching side for ads for the Rays.
I guess what I could be doing is you start speculating for the weeks ahead. The final week on the road for Tampa, they get five righties and one lefty. So Mangum could still be a good ad this week for cheap because you utilize them next week. Because you're probably playing with some of your final fab dollars. So you want these moves to maybe work for more than 1 week at this point in time. So yep, you could speculate on a Mangum for his batting average and his steals like we talked about on Tuesday. And to your pitching point, I do like Seymour, but he has struggled the last couple trips through the rotation. A Toronto-Boston two-step at home does not excite me at all. That scares me. And then at Toronto, the final start, it's a tough stretch for Mr. Seymour. So to your point, you might tread cautiously in that one. Other than that, I got nothing either. Toronto Blue Jays, they have seven games all on the road at Tampa for four, which is glorious. One lefty and three righties in those four. Three at Kansas City, a total of two lefties and five righties the whole week for the Toronto Blue Jays, who just, man, please hang on to win the AL East. That's all I have to say.
I mean, they're trying. Three-game lead on two teams. So in terms of ads, so a EC, we'll call him. Mention the full name. EC is over at shortstop in place of Bo Bichette.
Over in place of BB.
Over, yeah, I guess. I mean, the biggest new name, actually, the corresponding move for Bichette's IL stint was Joey Loperfido, who's up and has started two of the three games. But I don't know how you feel about Loperfido, but I think it's like a 5% barrel rate in AAA this year. I'm not that excited about Joey Loperfido.
I'm interested again. There's probably other guys up the list on him when it comes to the outfield, but I'd keep him in mind because he was swinging it pretty well with the Jays before he went on the IL, and then he came back and played two games, or he basically got sent straight to AAA when he came back. He was swinging it really, really well. He had hit some 11 of 12 or 13 games or something before he got hurt. Again, overall production struggles, but I think he's interesting, especially with those four games in Tampa. I would have him on the short list, at least, with Joey Loperfido.
Okay. The Tampa point is a good one. He'll get three righties in that Tampa first half of the week. So that could work, but yeah, hasn't shown much power in Triple. Seven home runs in 370 plate appearances. Not great in AAA.
Not great, Bob is correct. And the pitching is pretty much what it is. Hat tip to Kevin Gausman, who dealt on Thursday.
Yes, and has been dealing.
Yes, he has. It's good to see. Good to see from the big man. Good thing Joe Rico will not have to burn his doubled Gausman jersey. All right, let's head to the AL Central here. Chicago White Sox, six games this week, all at home. Three versus Baltimore, three versus San Diego. One lefty and five righties for the fighting White Sox, who, weirdly enough, most of their guys are going to be rostered now.
Yeah, kind of. I did look up the Leisure suit, Jordan Leisure. He's only 26% rostered in.
It's up from zero
in 12 teamers. So I am going to still recommend Jordan Leisure, who is getting it done. Absolutely pitching well and seems to have, I think, didn't get a save this week, but got a win on Tuesday, I want to say, or Wednesday, something. He is the high leverage guy. Yeah, win on Wednesday, pitching well. So Jordan Leisure, still, if you need saves. Miguel Vargas came back from the IL, so he might have been dropped in some leagues if you're not in IL leagues. I think Miguel Vargas will play every day, and then always with five righties, I'm always interested in Andrew Benintendi, even though it is a somewhat tough schedule for the White Sox.
Yep, Benny Biceps is 48% rostered. Vargas, 36%. So to your point, they are available if needed, and those would be the main targets. Like Kyle Teal is widely rostered. Lennon Sosa, this guy named Colson Montgomery, they're rostered. Brooks Baldwin, again, in deeper leagues, I'm not going to ignore that, especially for his positional flexibility come the final week of the year when you're just looking for guys to get at bats. That plays, but he's basically Ernie Clement Light, or sorry, EC Light. So
EC Light sounds like sounds like something you'd get a 25-cent soda or something.
That sounds like 130 in my fraternity house in college. Yeah. What's left, guys? EC Light's all we got, guys.
We got some ECs got in the cooler. That's all we got.
We're out of Keystone. We're out of Natural.
They're only 9 months old, but you're
they're
good.
Warm. They're warm. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
There's no ice in the cooler. They're just chilling.
Yeah. Hey, but we got to finish beer pong. Put them in. Let's go. So, yeah, been there, done that. All right, that's all I got for the White Sox. Cleveland Guardians, they have 7 games coming up all on the road, 3 at Detroit, 4 at Minnesota, 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Guardians. Man, Kafis hit a humongous home run tonight to give the Guardians the comeback win against Kansas City. But overall, that offense is still so bad.
So bad. So bad. And, yeah, it is like a line change team. There's a lot of platooners, but there's not really anything you can add, I don't think. You definitely continue to start Kyle Manzardo. But, I mean, if you're extremely desperate, Daniel Schneeman. But not even that. Like, CJ Kafis homer tonight, but even he's not playing every single day. And then you got Bo Naylor at catcher. So, I don't have much on Cleveland, honestly.
I got nothing. Like, they don't do anything for me. They're pitching. Like, I was going to say, Cantillo and Messick are still, they're interesting. Like, Messick's kind of bounced back after a couple. He's up to 85% roster now, so ignore that thought. That surprises me. But, Cantillo, so I'll let you have the floor there. What do you got on Cantillo?
Well, he's still under 30% rostered in NFBC 12-teamers, and, well, no, they've got a 6-man, too. It's with all these 6-mans. So he does not get a 2-step.
It's all these bum teams that just want to rest, dude. It's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah, no, I guess I get it.
I think Cantillo gets a 2-step this week because every week they got John Means coming off the IL, and I still don't know how. Maybe it'll happen someday, but that could be Ciccone, and so in theory, Cantillo could pitch Sunday.
And it could be a 2-step, which is pretty nice at Detroit. I mean, Detroit's decent, but or not decent. They're running away with the Central, but it's a good park. And then at Minnesota, you like that. So a potentially really good 2-step for Cantillo, especially if you need strikeouts. See, the whip may be interesting because the lack of control for Joey Cantillo, but the Ks, I think, will be there, especially in a 2-start week. Like, I would actually wager that Cantillo has the highest strikeout total of any waiver wire pitcher next week if he gets 2 starts.
If he gets 2 starts, agreed. And thinking of the way you described him as a guy I should have mentioned in the Orioles, Cade Povich, he's very similar. Tons of strikeouts. Ratios are always up in the air. Povich looked great on Thursday. He gets the White Sox next week, Tampa Bay the following week. So add Povich to your list as well if you're adding Joey Cantillo. That's in my thoughts. I'm a big Povich fan in that regard.
Yep. And the other thing with Cantillo, and Pat kind of brings this question up, is he going to be a 2-star guy? If Cantillo doesn't get a 2-step, this week, he should next week. You never know the final week of the season, but you could get 3 more starts after picking up Cantillo.
In reality, the final week of the season, there might only be a couple of 2 starts, period, as teams do things. Yeah. Like, it's a complete...
Next week's show will be very difficult.
It'll be as entertaining as always, folks. Please check in about 9 Pacific time, Thursday, September 18th. Don't listen to Ryan. You'll want to be here to watch it.
I need some EC lights to get through that one.
Hey, we could do something. All right, let's go to the Detroit Tigers. They have 6 games this week, all at home. 3 versus Cleveland, 3 versus Atlanta, 3 lefties, 3 righties, which really puts a massive poo-poo on anything you're looking at here.
It does, and specifically Parker Meadows, who looks really good since returning from the IL. Like, I think a lot of weeks he would be probably the top add. Parker Meadows is just 19% rostered in 12-teamers, so I still think you add him anyway. Because I think he's good, and
he gets 4 righties the following week in 6 games.
Exactly. So you'll get last the final week production from him, but only 3 righties this week. That does make it tough for Detroit. But I still think you go for some Parker Meadows. He looks a lot better than previous stints this season.
I agree completely with that. And on the pitching front, I'm not going to get Sawyer Gibson Long. That was Oof, was all I
could. He has not pitched well, and I know he was a follower today. Is that right?
Yes, today.
But yeah, hasn't been great. You like the following role, but you don't like the skills that Sawyer Gibson Long has been putting out there.
Completely agree with that. All right, let's go to the Kansas City Royals. Six games this week, all at home. Three versus Seattle, three versus Toronto. All righties on deck. I know we're going to say yes, and I get it. Be careful. It's been a rough go the last week or so.
Yeah, I know. Hasn't been great, but still, six leadoff games.
I fully support it. I'm just saying, be careful.
Yep. I mean, to the point of our Tuesday show, at this point in the season, when you're trying to project weeks at a time, just go for playing time and hope for the best. Jonathan India is the other name I'll throw out there just because he's back from the IL, but did get a Gene Segura All-Star nomination in the Discord this past week, I think from Michael Cecchini, who kind of laid out some stats from Jonathan India, and valid. Is not doing anything. Yes, exactly. So I don't even know if Jonathan India is viable, but he is going to play. He is going to play, so there is
that. He is going to play more games than I will next week, so you can definitely put that on the radar if you want. And, hey, he's had a couple actually better. Everything's better than the rest of the season, but he's looked better since coming off the IL for three games. I'll say that. Small sample at all. And this man is 96% rostered, I believe, but I want to shout out your boy Jack Caglione, who had a robbed a home run.
Yeah,
which is absolutely amazing. And Ryan thought he had a home run and didn't.
Do you know what I'm talking about though? Like, yeah. you see a tweet, or you see like you're in MLB app and you see Jack Caglione. You're like, oh shit, what'd he do? And it's like made a diving play. It's like, that's a pet peeve of mine as a fantasy player, of course.
It happens, but he's using better plate discipline, is what everyone's saying. Still not producing at all. All right, the Minnesota Twins, seven games this week, three at – actually, real quick, before we go on here, want to discuss the Royals rotation real quick. Michael Wacha may not be back on Tuesday because he's on the concussion IL. So let's keep that in mind if he's not around, because that could mean Stephen Kolek is in the rotation, and Stephen Kolek has actually been decent. He gave us Cleveland, I get it. But he's at home versus Seattle, Ryan, and you know that's actually not bad. Not bad these days.
And then Seattle's hitting pretty well lately, actually.
Yeah, but we'll see. I'm just throwing Kolek out there. He's looked decent so far since he's pitched with the Royals. So I wanted to shout him out. Seth Lugo's expected back next week. We'll see if that happens as well. There's a mess when it comes to and then Cole Reagan's potentially the final week of the season. Just wanted to mention all that mess in Kansas City real quick.
Mess is the proper word. And yes, Pat, Stephen Kolek is that's the proper pronunciation of that name.
It's okay. If we know Walk is out, I could see Monday afternoon the Guilds with his ride or die tweet saying the two-step with Kolek, he's in. So just be prepared for that. All right, Minnesota Twins, seven games, all at home, three versus the Yankees, four versus Cleveland, three lefties and four righties. For one of the not-so-great offenses as well at baseball.
Yes, exactly. And so this is almost pretty much is stream against territory, which is why I was kind of interested in Cantillo earlier, if that second start is against the Twins next week. So I don't have much. The one name I will throw out is Austin Martin, who is hitting .290 and has six steals. So and is hitting pretty much second most days or leadoff for the Twins. I think the Twins, Austin Martin was a top prospect, but he was definitely a prospect. And I think the Twins want to just get him some reps and see what they have potentially for next season with Austin Martin. But K rate's really good, 16% strikeout rate, not a big power guy, but he has a green light. And if you need bags or you need batting average, I think Austin Martin's actually a pretty nice category pickup for you.
Yeah, first round pick in 2020 to the Jays out of Vandy. Came over the Jose Barrios deal. So
That's right. Yep. He's a Vandy boy.
Yep. So he does have some, as the people love to hear, pedigree in the prospect world. So
Vandy.
Hey, give it a whirl if you want. I can
quick,
see it.
Quick Vandy trivia, Bubba. How many points did Vandy score on Virginia Tech in the second half last Saturday?
All of them. No, I'm guessing, off the top of my head, I forgot because I stopped keeping track. 48.
in a half? No, no. 34-0 in the second half. Not great.
Okay, I was actually not that far off. I remember I almost texted you, but I left it alone because I know how Va Tech is. But I'm like, in the first half, I'm like, look at, they're doing it, right? They're doing it. This is great. I left you alone.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured between the text messages from your son and the and everything else, you had your hands full anyways.
Yes. That was that night, wasn't it?
That was that night, yes. All right, the Sacramento Athletics, they head to the road for six games, three at Boston, three at Pittsburgh, one lefty, five righties. We're back out of town. What interests you with Sacramento?
Not much. I mean, given it's on the road, I could sit here and say JJ Blade, but I've been Blade'd before. Actually hitting somewhat decently since I gave up
same
on
time,
him.
Same thing happened last time, yes.
I know. So that should not factor into my decision making, but it does. But I don't know. I mean, it's a 20% K minus walk for the pitchers going against the A's. So one of those is Paul Skeens. You know, Connolly Early potential will face the A's. We just don't know which day. So yeah, it's just a tough schedule. It's all on the road. I'm not interested in too much on the A's for as this week.
Nope. Nothing hitting wise. Did want to throw out for those that are frustrated because Luis Morales finally had a bad start. He still has one more in his two step. We'll see how that goes. But then he gets at Pittsburgh and then home versus Kansas City. So two good starts the stretch there. So don't give up yet. And then I'm also going to say at 44% roster, Luis Severino at Pittsburgh next week is a pretty damn good stream. And then he gets versus Houston the last week. Maybe not as good of a stream with that Severino at Pittsburgh start on paper. Looks really, really good considering some other options we have out there.
It's funny with Pittsburgh. You always love like at Pittsburgh, but I always check. Is it against Skeens or not?
That's a great point.
I think in Severino's case, it is not against.
It says Bubba Chandler is what it says, actually. And then Morales gets Burrows. Jeffrey Springs gets Paul Skeens. So it's like a Dr. Seuss book. So, yep, that's all I got when it comes to Sacramento. Houston, they have six games all at home, three versus Texas, three versus Seattle, six righties on tap for the Houston Astros. Anything you're liking in the hitting department here?
So we talked about, so all I had was the Luis Garcia fallout, and we talked about that at the top. Any bats? I mean, I always do the Jesus Sanchez check. Stole a couple bags on Wednesday, and it's all righties, so lock and load with Jesus Sanchez, who will probably hit fifth. But outside of that, I don't know, you're probably going to mention Victor Caratini, I guess.
Not so much. Like, he just came back off the concussion IL. He still doesn't play every day. He wasn't playing every day before that. So it's pretty much your boy who stole another bag. Like, he's out there running when he's playing, but 97% roster kind of.
It's more with Jesus Sanchez. It's more you're pretty always looking at platoon. Yeah, you're definitely starting.
I would say Jake Meyers. He's back from the IL, pretty much primarily playing center field again because of his glove. We know he can hit for average, and he can run wild as well if he gets clicking. Just returned, so the overall production might not be there yet, but you could get 2 weeks out of a guy that could give you a couple steals a week and hit like 280 plus. If he hits at the bottom of the order, that could click for some runs. So Jake Meyers would be a dude if you want playing time. He should play pretty much every day.
No, it's a really good call. That's actually probably one of the best outfielders we've talked about tonight. I really like Jake Meyers. I don't know why I did not bring him up. Good call.
Yep. So that's a dude I'd keep in mind. On the pitching side, Ryan, it's pretty much, are you going to get blue balled or no?
Yes, I'm going to get blue balled.
Okay. Good for
you. I will. Yes, I will do that.
Yes. I'm just curious on, well, first off, we'll have to see if he pitches this weekend. And then second off, it's Texas and at Sacramento. So be prepared. I do like he should be widely rostered by now, but people just drag their feet. Not Jason Alexander, still 26% rostered, which will change this week. He gets first Texas versus Seattle potentially. I'll take that two-step with an at Angels the final week of the year. Jason Alexander might be one of your best pitching targets this week, I feel at least. I think Ryan's chuckling over there, though.
Yeah, yep. Jason Alexander's very marginal, I'll say.
You don't like Costanza?
I do, but I don't like the skills of this version of Jason Alexander. 11% K-minus walk. I know he's been a little bit better lately, but I'm not super thrilled. But two-step, if you need wins, you need Ks, that means everything. So I can see going for him.
Yes, indeed. Anything else with the Los Angeles Angels, or the Houston Astros, sorry?
No.
We move on to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. We have six games this week, all on the road. Three at Milwaukee, three in Coors Field. Two lefties and four righties on the week. One of the better hitting weeks on the schedule, including an 8.8% K to walk in Coors to top things off. I know who one guy you're going to mention for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Go get him. Go get him, Ryan. Go.
Should have got him last week.
Yeah, he's balling out right now.
Yoan Moncada continues to hit well. And like you said, it's a great schedule for the Angels this week, perhaps one of the best. And I think playing time is locked in for Yoan Moncada. And I believe he's been hitting second most of the time. So absolutely, Yoan Moncada. The skills are actually it's easy to laugh at Yoan Moncada. The skills have been very good, hitting second or third in that lineup. So pretty much has everything going for him right now. Just to name some of those skills, it's almost 15% barrel rate for Moncada. That's really nice, and a manageable mid-20 strikeout rate. So go get Yoan Moncada.
Yeah, I fully support it. I've been playing him in DFS for cheap a lot this week. So he's there. Keep an eye on Joe Adell. It's this vertigo thing. He missed two games, played a game, missed a game, and they're all late scratches. Like, he feels good, but then the vertigo's it's a bad.
Right, and I don't know. I mean, does that... That's somewhat hard to diagnose and have a timetable on.
That's my point. Like, he's literally fine to be in the lineup, and then they scratch him like an hour before the game. He goes through warmups basically, and one day he was actually good enough to play the whole game, and then now he's back out again. So that's literally a day-to-day situation to its finest.
Yep.
Which makes it very tricky, very, very tricky. Nolan Schanuel went to Arizona to start ramping up rehab. I'm not sure. They haven't named exactly a timetable for him to come back. So I think we're still probably a week or so out there. So Oswald Peraza will still play first base. I'm not the biggest Oswald Peraza guy, but I guess if you're really desperate in deeper leagues, he's going to play regularly. But yeah, other than that, Yoan Moncada is the main target there. And watch the Joe Adell situation. Those are my two takeaways from this. Yep. Chris Taylor's getting a ton of playing time because Adell's been out, by the way.
So. Yeah, have a backup plan if you have Joe Adell, for sure.
Now, on the pitching side, are you jumping on Caden Dana at all, who we talked about a bit last week, which, like, the pedigree is very good, but the overall production of the minors has been dreadful. Was okay, and he gets at Coors this week.
I don't even know if the pedigree was that great with this guy. Like, maybe
he's super young. He's like 21.
For the Angels, he's probably one of their top prospects, but... No, I'm not interested in Caden Dana.
Okay. I'm not knocking that. I just want to get some of their thoughts.
I can rattle off some numbers to support the claim, but
no, I trust you on this one. Usually when I want to fight back, I'll fight back. But I was like, nope, we'll just let that.
I don't think you want to hit your wagon to this guy, man.
Yeah.
Fangraphs does have Caden Dana as the Angels' top prospect. They do have him as a top 100 prospect, so I'll give you your flowers on that one. But my guy had a 5.93 ERA, a 1.59 WHIP in AAA this year.
It was bad.
Didn't miss bats,
and he was hurt a lot too.
Yeah, yep. No, I'm good. Okay,
as
good
as Scott Burke says, Dana walks guys while warming up before the game.
Yeah,
but then Pat says something. You know, check the flow. I can't relate, but apparently that's a good thing. So I guess time will tell on Caden Dana. Maybe a round 48 pick in a DC the upcoming season. Yeah. Seattle Mariners, they have six games this week, all on the road, three at Kansas City, three at Houston, one lefty and five righties for your Seattle Mariners. Josh Naylor hurt his shoulder again today. That's a lingering thing, but he keeps playing and hitting. So something to monitor, I guess. But anything with the Mariners, there's not a whole lot you can do here, I don't think.
Not much. I don't know. Is Jorge Polanco widely? He's been hitting better. Yeah, he's widely rostered, so never mind. I mean, Victor Robles is back from suspension. We mentioned this on the Tuesday show, but has not started each of the last two nights. So it does seem like he's still back in a short side platoon, so you don't want that. So I don't really have any ads for the Seattle Mariners.
Nope, not at all. Let's wrap up the American League with the Texas Rangers. Six games this week, three at Houston, three at home versus Miami. It's six righties on tap. And I'm telling you, I hope people are a fan of mayonnaise this week. That's all I'm going to say.
That's your guy, man. Michael Hellman. go forth. I'll give you the floor because I know you picked him in DFS a little bit. Yep,
less than 1% rostered. And he hit a dong, which was glorious. He's just an old
Grand Slam.
Minor leaguer, getting stuff done, plays pretty much every single day. Hits ninth, which is not ideal, but it's hitting .255 on the year, 5 homers, 3 steals, but he's really picked it up over the last couple of weeks since he started playing every single day, pretty much without the occasional off day. Over like the last 2 weeks, .282, 4 homers, 2 steals, 10 runs, 13 RBIs, strikes out less than 19%. Quite productive on a Rangers team that's just hitting everything right now. So I think there's a lot to like with Michael Hellman, Mr. Mayo, going forward in the final 2 weeks of the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 6 barrels and 62 plate appearances only for Michael Hellman. So you like that. What about Jock Jams? I mean, it is a righty heavy week. What's your take?
I did this 2 weeks ago when it was a righty heavy week and it sucked. He's volatile. He's going to have really good weeks and really bad weeks. That's what he does. He's had a lot more bad than good this season.
Yeah.
I'd probably look elsewhere, but at this, don't be surprised if he has like 3 home runs this week.
I know. And it is an easy schedule. Like outside of Hunter Brown, it's a pretty easy schedule. So I can see it in 15 teamers. If you're just trying especially to get
that
some pop,
Miami series, that Miami series is real nice.
Junk out of Mazur and a diminished version of Yuri Perez. So
yeah, Yuri might not even make that start. So that's a pretty sweet schedule. So I get it. If you want Jock Jams, I get it. Just wouldn't be a top priority for me, but I could see putting it on the waterfall.
Yeah. Last but not least, I mean, this should go without saying, but if you have Jake Berger, he's playing every day. He's on fire right now. So absolutely start Jake Berger.
Yep, he's up to like 79% roster. That should be higher, what? Folks.
Oh, is that it? I just assumed he was.
No, he was less than 50% going into last week, so people started adding him slowly but surely. So starting to get his love. Pitching side, I'll mention Sean Armstrong again. He's only 62% rostered, so people should hop on that. He keeps getting the job done.
Yeah, I did. I think he pitched the 8th on Wednesday by guessing a leverage spot. I did not see the box
he's
score.
He's their main culprit here.
But yeah, Sean Armstrong seems like the primary guy in the 9th and probably good for a couple more saves the rest of the way for sure.
He's been getting wins and or saves each week, so run with it. Let's head to the National League. The Atlanta Braves, 7 games, 4 at Washington, 3 at Detroit. So on the road for 7, got Ronald Acuña hitting 7th, all kinds of good things there. 2 lefties and 5 righties that the Braves are facing this week. Anything of interest for you?
Not really. Hitter side, and really nothing is changing at all for this for this lineup. I will a little bit of dose of humble pie here. Michael Harris is back to being bad again. I'll admit it. It was a good run there, but he's back to not being good Michael Harris again.
See, folks, this is what happens when you hang out with a guy for like 4 years or so. He realizes just beat me to the punch.
I got
to
get ahead of it.
It's a lot easier to get over that one.
I can't take these. Yeah, exactly. I get ahead of it. It's the best way. PR 101 people here to not get attacked by your co-host. Just get it out of the way early.
There is one hitter I could throw out there. Sung Kim's only 44% rostered still.
Okay, yeah.
He plays every day. Like, I know he's volatile right now. He hasn't really played much this season, so it's probably spring training in reality still. Dude's got a bunch of speed, some pop. Like, he's going to play a lot. Hits like 5th or 6th every game. So Sung Kim would be a guy I'd keep on the radar.
I'm good with that. Yep.
Anything on the mound when it comes to Atlanta who... Yeah, nothing really great to me. Bryce Elder's actually been good, man. I dug in a lot with Ben Tidd about Bryce Elder on Monday's show because he has a good upcoming schedule too, unless that's changed since Monday. But Bryce Elder has looked relatively strong over like the last 3 or 4 starts. He gets at Detroit this week, and the final week he gets the Washington Nationals. I know it sounds wild, but he could be a streaming option the final 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, you just hope you don't get burned by bad Bryce Elder. Like, I don't know. Do we really think he's changed himself? Maybe. He's 26 years old, still young enough to kind of take that next step. I do agree. Has been better of late. Season-to-date skills are still pretty rough. So just know there's some risk there. But, yeah, I won't fault you for going with Elder in, like, 15-teamers because what else do you have? So
pretty much.
The Nationals matchup is really good, too.
Who knows? And as Sarah Sanchez said, he just got lucky and faced the Cubs twice in a week. So
yeah,
that always helps as well. All right, let's go to the Miami Marlins. They're on the road for 6-3 at Coors, 3 at Texas, 2 lefties, 4 righties. As you said earlier, Ryan, this is the best hitting schedule for now on the week. So with that being said, are you targeting anything with the Miami Marlins?
Yeah. So with the mascot of last Tuesday's show, Heriberto Hernandez is still playing every day, and you love the schedule. Tons of power. If you need home runs, I think this is one of the best outfield adds that you can have, just because I think the playing time you can totally count on. And if he runs into a couple hot weeks, that's a really nice cheap ad that you can do for a buck and get Heriberto Hernandez. Congratulations, Maximo Acosta. You stole your first base of your career today. So
nice. Got a couple.
Not only do I now believe you are a real person, Maximo Acosta, you are doing things. 3 homers, 1 steal. Still not recommending you, Maximo, but you are playing shortstop, third base every single day. So there is a case to be made in NL-only leagues.
20-team NL-only leagues.
In those 20-team NL-onlys. Get you some Maximo.
I'm going to have to draft him in a DC against you this year just so I could use him for 1 week and do something.
I should draft him too, just for the hell of it.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out a name. I hinted at this on Tuesday. Victor Mesa Jr. He's sitting at the bottom of the order, but playing pretty much every day versus lefties right now since he was recalled. Don't forget, he's one of the top Cuban pickups a while back now. It was in 2018 when he was signed, but the dude's 24 years old. He's been banged up a lot since he was recalled on August 31st, hitting 278, a homer, 5 runs, 5 ribbies, 14% walk, 14% strikeout rate. So, again, not a world beater by any means, but a guy that's playing every day. He does have some power and some speed. And again, if you're still looking at bats on a Marlins team that has nothing to lose with a great hitting schedule this week, Victor Mesa Jr., I think, is a decent stream for the upcoming week of the season.
All right. Yeah, I'm not as bought in. Well, I don't know if he plays against
lefties. I always love that. All right.
I mean, I don't know if he plays against lefties. He hasn't.
No, I said he plays versus righties. That's all I said.
But they only get 4 this week. And, like, I don't know, Victor Mesa's not good. I mean, that's really the crux of the argument. He makes a ton of contact. He's hitting 300, or it was hitting 300 in AAA with a 17% strikeout rate. But my guy has a 3.5 barrel rate and stole 3 bags in 143 plate appearances. This is Victor Segura Jr. potential here.
Victor Segura. Hey, at one point, that was a fantasy stud. So,
yeah, long ago.
Long, long ago. Anything on the pitching side out there? Let me even see. Is Ryan Weathers better have been picked up everywhere this
week? Right. I mean, that's the name I was going to mention.
25%. Good Lord.
Yeah, Ryan Weathers looked very good today. And yeah, if only 25% in 12 teamers, that's a really good pickup and someone who could be. I mean, we were asked in the Discord today, is Ryan Weathers a top 40 pitcher next year? And I'm nowhere near ready to go there because we can't trust him to stay healthy. But Ryan Weathers would line up. His next start's at Coors, but that's Colorado. But then maybe potentially a two-step the final tough week of the season. So. And I mean, if you're the Marlins, you probably want Ryan Weathers to throw that full last week just to build some strength back in that arm and get him ready for next season. So, yeah.
It's a tough schedule. Tough 3 games. But yeah.
Is the last week's tough?
At Philly versus the Mets.
Whew.
Tough. And the Mets will probably still be needing to win. And they hit lefties very well.
Yeah, that is kind of tough.
That's an interesting one.
I mean, Ryan Weathers is really good, too. Like,
I agree.
I think he's good enough. You start him kind of no matter what the matchups are.
So would you rather have Ryan Weathers or Tyler Wells?
I'll go Weathers. Yeah, I'll go Weathers, especially if you need the Ks.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Anything else with the Miami Marlins?
No.
New York Mets, they have 6 games this week all at home, and boy, oh boy, do they need to be home. 3 versus San Diego, 3 versus the Nats, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the New York Metropolitans, Ryan.
Very tough week this past week for the Mets, just not scoring. I really don't have much. Like, if you have, we mentioned Cedric Mullins on the last show, probably good enough in a four righty week to roll with him, but the Mets have faced a ton of lefties this past week and he has not been playing. Same with Brett Beatty. So just be mindful of those matchups if you have those guys these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I guess outside of the regulars, I'm kind of skeptical. Like, Jose Siri's back should be just a lefty guy. So I'm not too ambitious when it comes to the hitting side outside of the main dogs that hit in the top four or five in that lineup.
Yeah.
I will say Francisco Alvarez is back. If you still need a catcher, let me check. He was widely available last week, and he's still only 58% rostered, so there's some room for Francisco Alvarez if you need a catcher, too. Anything on the mound as we have Sproat is up and about?
Are they going full six, man? Because they've got Holmes, Peterson, Tong, Sproat, McLean, Manaea.
Their plan for now is to go six, man. But with between Manaea and Holmes, that's just a fool.
You gotta consolidate some of that fat there. Like, yeah, combine Manaea and Holmes. I mean, we've talked about Holmes's demise far too much recently, but Manaea's been the opposite of what he was down the stretch last year. So, God, the Mariners have hit like three potential walk-off foul balls that are home runs. Last two innings.
Yep, sorry. I've been watching that. Apologies. One was, I think one was to Randy. I was hoping to get it.
Yeah, Julio had two of them. But...
So you interested in Sproat? I take it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we saw what he could do. The walks. I mean, he did that. I think have four walks in his debut. Yeah. But we did see the dominance on display with Brandon Sproat. Good pitch count. Mets need him. Mets need anyone they can get right now because they are. They are in a fight right now. So, yeah, I like Brandon Sproat quite a bit.
All right. Let's head to the Philadelphia Phillies. They have six games this week on the road. Three at the Dodgers. Should be good. Three at Arizona. So the Dodgers get the Giants for three on the road. Then they go home for the Phillies for three and then home for the Giants for four. That's 10 on paper, not easy games for the Dodgers who are struggling as well. But we'll get to them shortly. Phillies, three at the Dodgers.
We're talking about the Phillies.
Yeah, I just saw that. I just had to have my fun. Three at Arizona, one lefty and five righties for a team that we talk about every week. Doesn't platoon,
but we do have Edmundo, right?
Yeah, he's playing shortstop. Edmundo Sosa, baby.
Yeah, so if you need, it's more a 15-team play, in my opinion. I don't know if Edmundo Sosa is a 12-team type of guy, but yeah, and that, I think he's going to play most of the time at shortstop, qualifies a bunch of spots. That's decent. Otto Kemp is up playing third base with Alec Boehm on the IL. Not a huge Otto Kemp guy, but yeah, did home run. So I don't know. Maybe I'm too down on the substitute bus driver.
The substitute bus driver, I don't mind him for the power. I will say Brandon Marsh is only 10% rostered with the five righties on tap or whatever it was. I think that's kind of appealing.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
He could be a weekly streamer. A ton of outfielders to stream this week, which comes back to the question the comment we mentioned earlier in the season, especially during draft time. You can pretty much stream your fifth outfielder all season if you really want to. It checks out even late in the season.
Yep.
When it comes to the mound, they are not mixing a whole heck of a lot up.
They are not mixing a whole heck of a lot up, and the bullpen is no longer in flux. Whew, no, what an ad. I think you tweeted about that earlier tonight. Yes. Juan Duran, man. Oh, my goodness. He's been good.
Yes, yes, indeed. All righty. Let's head to the Washington Nationals. Seven games this week. Four at home versus Atlanta. Three at the New York Mets. One lefty and six righties for the Nationals. Are you getting the first baseman? Are you doing it?
Josh Bell?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Swinging it well.
Playing, hitting second against, or no, not second, hitting third against righties, and you get six righties for the Nats next week. So, yes, Josh Bell, and then, of course, your guy, Dalen Lyle, playing every day, lefties and righties. I know you like yourself some Dalen Lyle. So, those are two really good ads this week for the Nats. Lyle was a good ad last week. We talked about him.
But. He's 41% rostered, so still widely available. He didn't clean up. I would be all over that one if you have not done that yet. So, other than that, I got nothing. The rest of that lineup is dreadful.
Yes, Brady House, Dylan Cruz has done nothing. Riley Adams has done nothing. Robert Hassel's done nothing. This is very much a stream against type of team.
Mackenzie Gore came back from the IL way before many ever thought possible and threw decently. He's 63% rostered. If you're feeling frisky, I don't think I'm willing to take that chance, but he's out there and he potentially faces the Braves next week with the Braves the following week, if that's something you're into.
Just a weird, weird move, in my opinion. I'm not in the Nats front office. They are smarter than I am.
Are they?
What's
though?
The
are they?
Yeah, I'm not that smart. What's the benefit?
That was more a comment on them, not you, Ryan.
Bell or Manzardo next week?
Josh Bell.
Interesting. I would go Manzardo.
Just because Josh Bell will face lefties as well. But the Guardians have, what, 5 or 6 ready? So, yeah, maybe. We'll see. Manzardo was swinging it very well. But I like what Josh Bell's doing, stealing bags, too, if you need him to. Mitchell Parker, potential two-step, Braves at the Mets. That's terrifying. I'm just going to throw that out there to everybody before that conversation gets going.
Agreed. It is terrifying. Always lines up for, like, good matchups because he's a lefty and that's who they play. But, yeah, you're playing with fire whenever you start Mitchell Parker.
Yes, you are. Crash and burn. All right, Chicago Cubs, they have 7 games this week, 3 at Pittsburgh, 3 at Great American, or 4 at Great American Small Park. It is 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Cubbies. Another team that pretty much business as usual.
Right. I mentioned this on Tuesday, but with Kyle Tucker on the IL, does seem like Willie Castro is getting pretty much everyday playing time. He's still kind of playing all over, a little bit of third base, center, right field. But with Tucker not in the mix, it's just one less obstacle. So I mean, Willie Castro was our mascot pick for 2025. If you need steals, I think that's an option for you. But that's pretty much it on the hitting side.
I will say, though, remember, Tucker could be back like next Wednesday. So
yep, could be.
That could put a crash and burn to that, potentially. I will say Jameson Taillon's back. He gets at Pittsburgh and at Cincinnati next week. He's 37% rostered. Definitely a viable option next week.
Definitely a viable option, especially with the matchups and any two-step where you're confident that the pitcher's going to throw and at least have the potential to go 5 in each one. You could do that. Taillon hasn't been that bad this year. It's a 4.15 ERA, 4.40 xFIP. Strikeout minus walk is just a tick below league average. So this isn't a who were you just asking me about? Some pitcher said was
Mitchell
horrendous.
Parker.
No. That wasn't old. I don't know. Never mind.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Got nothing.
Taillon is a decent middle of the road two step next week.
And as Sarah Sanchez mentions, Andrew Kittredge got the save yesterday. So it's not just Brad Keller's world that we're living in.
Yeah, good call.
There's multiple options there with Brad Keller and Kittredge. And speaking of which, Brad Keller is 19% rostered in OCs, Kittredge 5%. So you can probably roster both and hope for the best.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. Then you're wasting 2 roster spots on one team.
No, I mean, you could go to roster both. I wouldn't roster both, but like if you're
bidding, gotcha. Okay.
You could bid on both. I should have raised that better. Yep. All right. Anything else on Chicago before we head to Cincinnati?
Nope.
Let's go to the Reds. 7 games this week, 3 at St. Louis, 4 at home versus the Cubbies. 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Reds. I said it before, like weeks like this, you could go to Gavin Lux. It's not sexy by any means. It's more of an average, hopefully score some runs play, but he's out there if you want him, if you're really feeling it.
And I'm not feeling it, so.
That's fair.
For me, it's Sal Stewart is the highlight. Sal Stewart was called up, just bonkers numbers in the minors this season. He's only 10% owned in 12 teamers. Sal Stewart in AAA this season, 16% strikeout rate, really good, a lot of contact, but a 21% barrel. That is enormous
good.
Power that Sal Stewart was showing.
Huge.
In AAA, has homered already, I believe, in the majors. So get you some Sal Stewart. I don't see why he wouldn't play all the time. I don't sound super confident in that, I guess, while I'm talking, but
yeah, he does
seems like a slam dunk add to me.
Yeah, it's weird because he's a right-handed guy. He sat versus the last lefty they faced, which surprised me. Then he played 2 games, then he sat, then he played 2. So it feels like he's going to play 70-ish% of the time, if that's what you're digging, which with his power could be plenty good.
Yeah.
And maybe he runs into more time. So I like the play, especially with the four in Great American. That could play very well when things are all said and done.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that schedule too. Reds, it's 12% K to walk against the Reds this week. It's seven games, so even if Sal Stewart sits twice, he still get five. Yep. So
hopefully at least three of those five are in Great American. So yeah, I could see that for sure. You like Cabrian Hayes still?
Yeah. I mean, kind of rinse and repeat. I like Sal Stewart a lot more if you need like a corner infielder, but yeah, Cabrian Hayes has been much better on the Reds than he was on the Pirates.
Pirates, yes. Pitching side of things, Chase Burns is back, but expected to work out of the bullpen. Keep that in mind.
That's a no for me. Dog. Yes,
just throwing that out to people out there, but some people are asking for bulk guys. He could be a bulk guy for you. Other than that, I don't have much because most of their pitchers are rostered. Like the Lytle's got a two-step, but he's rostered. Brady Singer's still awesome, even though you don't think so. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I said it. Didn't stutter.
Awesome.
Oh, it's good stuff. He's very good. Very good is what I'll say.
There you go. All right. Downgrading it. So.
All right, let's go to the Milwaukee Brewers. They have six games this week, three at home versus the Angels, three at the Cardinals, two lefties and four righties for the best team in the National League. What do you got on the Brew Crew?
Not much. Honestly, we talked about the kind of shaky playing time of Isaac Collins on Tuesday's show, and Isaac Collins did not play on Wednesday. I don't think you can start Isaac Collins. He's, you know, these last 2 weeks, unless he plays every day.
He's a cut. He's a cut in my book.
So
go get Jake Myers, go get one of those other guys.
Exactly. I mean, we've mentioned a ton of outfielders on the show tonight.
Yep.
All are better options, I think, right now than Isaac Collins. So that's pretty much it. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is back, but not cutting into the first base situation. I don't think he started either of his first two games back.
He started his last game.
Okay.
Is Andrew Vaughn's first day off in a while, though. So it seems like unless something changes over the weekend, it's still Vaughn's position.
Yeah. So not looking to add Hoskins. So yeah, I don't have much.
No, there really isn't much. But barring an injury over the weekend, pretty normal there. And same with the pitching side, it's relatively cut and dry unless I'm missing something.
What's up with McGill? What's the latest on Tyler McGill?
He's going to throw another bullpen, I believe, or a live batting practice this week, and he could return middle of next week potentially. So yes, keep that in mind.
There you go. Potential closer switch there with Uribe seeding the ninth, though. So Uribe hasn't pitched in like a week.
Yeah, he hasn't. It's been rocky. He's been good, but it's been rocky as well. Miguel's still 90% rostered, so people held for the most part. But check your leagues. If you're one of the 10%, get some.
Yep.
All right, Pittsburgh Pirates. They have six games this week, three all at home, three versus the Cubs, three versus the A's, two lefties, four righties for a team we rarely ever want to discuss offensively.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, Nick York is up, but not really any power there, running a little bit, but I don't even know if he plays every day. Could say Tommy Pham, like insert joke here, but he's actually been semi-decent lately. But no, this is a bad team.
Yeah, I start Pham religiously in DCs because I have to, and it works right now. It works, but I'm not running in. Remember, you can cut O'Neill Cruz in 12s if you'd like. Just going to remember, if you didn't listen to Tuesday's show, I had a very strong comment on that one, so feel free to go back and listen to it if you want.
Coming in a little hot with your O'Neill Cruz takes, but hey, I respect it. Just to put some names to this quote-unquote stream against team, it is Cade Horton, Jameson Taillon, Matthew Boyd, who has been terrible lately, but I'm probably rolling with Matthew Boyd against Pittsburgh. Luis Severino, who you mentioned earlier. Luis Morales, who you mentioned earlier. And then
there's three pitchers we've already mentioned. Taillon, Severino, Morales out of the six.
Yeah. So when we say like stream against these guys, you can actually probably do it this week with Fab.
Yep. Great spot to be in. All right. St. Louis Cardinals. They have six games this week. All at home, three versus Cincinnati, three versus Milwaukee, two lefties and four righties for a Cardinals team who is on a massive struggle bus, Ryan. When I do matchups, they're striking out like close to 29% of the, or 28% of the time versus righties right now, which I never thought I'd see with this team. They are in shambles at the moment.
They are in shambles at the moment. Real quick before I get to St. Louis, we do have a question from Con Queso. Did Christian Yelich qualify for outfield next year? think he's at 19 outfield games still, unless he's played one lately. So
I remember he was scheduled for one when he got scratched with his back injury. That would have been number 20. And that was dreadful.
Okay.
I was like, oh, we were so close. Let me find out. I'll look real quick.
He's still at 19, according to HQ, unless he started tonight. No, he DH'd. They did not play today. So Christian Yelich still 19 games. So if you're in a 20-game league, he will not qualify at outfield next year. He just needs to get one more start, so he still could. So,
yep.
All right. All right. St. Louis. Yeah, terrible lately. Big thing I'll mention, I'll steal your thunder, is Brendan Donovan is back this weekend, so could rock and roll there if you want.
But your boy Segassi is playing for the injured Mason Wynn, and he had four hits, I believe, three or four hits on Wednesday.
Yeah, and Mason Wynn, man, like, let's shut him down. What are we doing?
I don't know why we're doing it. They already said he's going to have surgery. Why are we playing Mason Wynn when you
respect,
guys...
Like, they interviewed him, like, I respect the hell out of it for Mason Wynn himself, but, like, at some point, the team's got to be, like... All right, man, you're playing with a torn meniscus. Like,
he's 23 years old. Future shortstop of your team. Like, how about we just fix this before it gets worse?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm confused on that one. I'm even like, the Volpe one still confuses me with the shoulder. Like, if it's that banged up, what are we doing? I don't get it.
But yeah, Thomas DeJacy, good call. Could still be playing every day, even with Donovan back. And Thomas DeJacy, 15 team type guy, but. Could be useful.
Glue guy. Yep. Anything on the pitching front? I don't have a whole lot.
I don't think I've had anything on the pitching front all year.
Besides cut Liberatore, please stop starting Matthew Liberatore. He can barely go five innings, if that. So just move on from Matthew Liberatore. Great season early. Shambles since.
Yep.
All right, Arizona Diamondbacks, six games all at home this week, three against the Giants, three against the Phillies, one lefty and five righties for our D-backs team that is still fighting, and those games against the Giants will have some meaning to them because they're just like a game or so behind the Giants in that wild card race, so some good. Bright side, Brian, we got a lot of good matchups coming up just for baseball, it looks like, down the stretch here. What do you like for the D-backs?
Yeah, I mean, they can't make the playoffs, can they? I guess they could.
They're like 2.5 out of the wild card, I think.
Really?
The finals. Like I said, like a game and a half behind the Giants. Or a game behind the Giants. I'll check right now.
Yeah, they are a game and a half behind the Giants. Fangraphs has a 2% chance of making the playoffs, but who knows? Yeah. Who knows? I can always say Jake McCarthy if you need some bags. Again, it is a five-game week for the Diamondbacks, and it is a pretty juicy five-game week with an 11% strikeout minus walk for the pitchers going against those guys. But that's pretty much it. I will say, like, been very tough for your guy, for Adrian Del Castillo. I think has two barrels in 108 plate appearances with a 38% strikeout rate. So very disappointing stuff.
They just need to play him every day. It would help a lot probably for a young player.
He is playing
every other day, yes.
Yeah, I mean, but he's a I don't know.
He needs to play. The days he has off, the starting catcher has a day off. Then put him at
But if you have an outside shot at the postseason,
I know you want your defensive guys. I get it.
And guys you can actually hit. Like,
that's true as well. Blaze Alexander can hit. Put him out there. He's playing all over the place.
He's still holding his own, isn't he?
Yeah, Blaze. He is. Blaze is holding his own. Jordan Lawler not playing much either.
All right. Mariners tied it up in the 10th.
Yeah. All right. Anything on the pitching front here? I will say this much. Ryan Nelson has been sneaky interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oregon Duck Ryan Nelson's been pretty good. Got to do my weekly shout out to Nabil.
98% rostered. Holy crap.
Who, Nabil?
Nelson.
Oh,
okay. Nah, Nabil, my boy. It's like me and like four guys. Yeah, 7%. It's not a whole lot of people on that train.
No, nor should be.
That was with a two-step this week. God,
no. How'd the first half go? Honestly, I don't even know what he did.
I think it was mediocre. It wasn't great. it was like his worst start since he's come. Let me see what it was. Yeah, four innings, four runs, one walk, three. It's the most runs he's allowed all season. Against my Giants, at least. So at least it was that.
Yeah. Oh, Nabil.
And it looks like Tony Disco might be back next week, so you might lose Nabil. Oh. God. Going forward, we'll see. I'd rather have DeBeal than Tony Disco, to be honest.
Don't make me choose.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. All right. I got nothing else on the D-backs.
No, me neither.
Colorado Rockies, six games all at home in Coors Field, three against the Marlins, three against the Angels, two lefties and four righties. Great schedule hitting-wise for Colorado. Mickey Moniak just has not been good, but this could be the week, maybe.
Could be. I mean, if it's going to be the week, this would be the week, right? I mean, it's a yep. very easy schedule. It's all at home. It is only four righties, so you might get
last games in Coors this year too. So be prepared.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, I don't mind Mickey Moniak. Michael Toglia was called up from AAA this week. I know you're going to throw up in your mouth. You probably already did. I'm not looking at you right now, but I don't know. Like last time Michael Toglia came up, he was good for like 4 days. It's a Coors week, man. You never know. Coors weeks get wild.
He got called up because Warming Burnable was placed on the IL with a concussion. So yeah, it could be a Toglia week. I'll give you that. It's terrifying, almost as terrifying as that catch that they just made in that game. Yeah, that's why I made that noise earlier. I was like, whoa.
Oh, that wasn't your visceral reaction to
that was him almost blowing the game because he couldn't feel the fly ball in left field. Those lights must be something there in Seattle. That's like the second or third one we've seen tonight where they just completely lose it. But yeah, Moniak, Toglia, that's really all I got, though. The rest of the guys I'd care about are pretty much rostered.
We gave Kyle Karros way too much airtime on the Tuesday show. I don't know how we did that again.
If we ever do that again, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. I got nothing on the pitching front either. It's Coors.
Oh, are you kidding me? Well, yeah. Although I do need to find out who this guy is. Brown. McCade Brown.
There you go.
McCade is his first name. That's a hell of a first name.
Sounds like he should be on the remake of the TV show Dallas someday. For all you olds out there.
That's pretty badass.
All right. Oh, now you're interested? You going to start him? Stream him? What are you going to do? No?
No, we can move on.
You're all interested now. Listen to you.
Well, no, I'm just curious by anyone named McCade Brown. Like that's sweet, dude.
That's a deep rabbit hole. Los Angeles Dodgers have seven games this week, all at home, three versus Philadelphia, four versus the Giants. Because they're facing Philadelphia, they face five lefties and two righties this week because it's the Phillies and their lefty mafia that comes out there, which means it's really difficult to get away with a whole lot here.
Yeah, the lefty mafia. I like that. Because there is like a team every single week that has to.
It fits in Philly too. Like it's you got the finisher Duran that comes out, the cleaner basically. Yeah, like we could do this if you want. Make the t-shirts now, folks. Like that's a thing.
So I mean, the bad news is, the short side platooners for the Dodgers are Miguel Rojas and
Muncy. I don't see how they sit Muncy for five games though. So that's why it makes it even more murky.
But can you play? Can you start Muncy next week?
Probably
he's bad against lefties.
I know he's horrible. He's probably not, but like you're not picking up Miguel Rojas or Enrique Hernandez for him. I don't think either.
No, agreed. I think you're looking elsewhere, but I don't know. What about Tommy Edmund? He's back from the IL.
He's back. He started in center field on his first game back. I'm just not really interested in Tommy Edmund.
I mean, it's just such an unknown. It could be good. I like Tommy Edmund, but is this going to be the same Tommy Edmund that came back from the IL last time and was just unrosterable? Really, so you're taking it's a high ceiling, low floor type play, which, hey, depending on your standings, you might need to take that shot. So just throwing them out there.
And pitching side, most of these guys are all rostered. So not a lot you're doing with the 6-man rotation. Tanner Scott's horrible, but they have no one else to really go to if you're looking for that either.
Yep.
All right. Oh, sorry. Did you have anything else?
No, just debate in the chat. Is McCade Brown a two first names guy? I would argue McCade Brown's a two last names.
Two last names. That's two last names to me.
So I don't know. I don't know what you do with that.
Tough. We need to get McCade Brown versus we'll have to figure some of these out. Chad Patrick. See where it goes. All right. Let's go to the San Diego Padres. Six games on the road. Three at the Mets. Three at the White Sox. Two lefties and four righties for the Padres. Jackson Merrill starting to hit. I know he's not available, but just a heads up to people out there. Yep. But most of the guys that are available on this team, so it doesn't really matter.
Right. In a four-game week, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we clean the sheets. Kind of tired of trying to clean the sheets. Yeah. They're not getting clean.
Once he started cleaning diapers, the sheets didn't really get clean much anymore.
Well done. Yep. Yep. It happens.
It happens. It definitely happens. You got about a 6 to 12 month readjustment period on that one.
Yeah, he's going through it. So we'll be back next year. Gavin Sheets. No, I don't think I have anything for the Padres, honestly.
Yeah. Nothing hitting, nothing pitching. I mean,
Michael King is back. I mean, it's just worth noting. I don't know.
Yeah, widely rostered. I was just looking at it a second ago. He's still 100% rostered.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right. Last but not least, the NL West potential wild card team, San Francisco Giants, 7 games, 3 at Arizona, 3 at the Dodgers. Like, this is a definite make or break week. Holy crap. I'm going to be pissed come next Thursday. I can already tell. 2 lefties, 5 righties on tap to face the Giants. This is not a friendly schedule either. I'm not happy. What do you got on this one, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. It's 7 of the next 10 are against the Dodgers. Arizona in between. If you're gonna go for it, you got to beat these teams. So
you got to beat them sometime. So
I don't know.
Drew Gilbert.
Yeah, you think
Drew Gilbert?
I'm a believer.
Okay, I'm a believer.
Yep.
Other than that, Matos is not startable right now for those that loved him, because I do love the profile. We talked about this a lot on.
Well, he's not even playing anymore.
Yeah, he's a great fourth outfielder right now in the Giants' future. The way things are going. He'll platoon with Drew Gilbert for now, so he's there. Weirdly enough, Patrick Bailey is hitting again. I don't know where this came from all of a sudden. He has a couple home runs recently. He's homered twice in the last 3 games, 3 times since September 2nd. I am baffled by what we're seeing from a guy that came into that September. He only had 2 home runs before the month of September. He has 3 already in like a week. So I just wanted to throw him out there. If you're like really desperate for a catcher too, for some reason, since the second, he's hitting .345 with 3 homers, 8 runs, 7 RBIs, and a stolen base. Okay. No clue where that came from, but he's swinging it well.
Patrick Bailey or Adrian Del Castillo?
Patrick Bailey. He also plays every day.
That is fair.
That's an easy one, actually. And I love Del Castillo, but just wanted to bring Patrick Bailey up because a lot of people liked him in the preseason. He's been god awful this year, but he's in play. Dom Smith as well with the 5 righties. Dom Smith is actually he's hitting for. What are you talking about? Laughing? Are you serious?
I thought we were gonna get through the whole Giants section without a Dom Smith mention, but
dude, he's only hitless in 1 game in September so far. Dude's mashing. Let's just say since he came over at the deadline, August 1st. Here you go. Dom Smith as a Giant hitting .305, 3 homers, 21 RBIs.
Not bad.
Batting average.
Yeah,
batting average, better than I thought.
Better than I thought.
Yeah. So Dom Smith, these are deep league plays, but they are plays to be had is what I'm trying to get at. Other than that, because you usually let me run with the Giants because I know this team too well, I don't have a whole lot else. The pitching rotation is a mess. The one thing I will say, if you're short on funds, for $1 this week, feel free to add Justin Verlander, who next week, the following week, the final week of the season, has a 2-step at home versus the Cardinals and versus the Rockies on Monday and Sunday. And if there's any pitcher where you have to wonder if they're pitching on Sunday, Verlander's pitching 120 pitches on Sunday at the final day of the season. Unless something insane happens.
His last career start.
Yeah. So there's so much volatility of will a guy make a start? Won't he make a start? Will he make an abbreviated start? I would be beyond shocked if Verlander doesn't throw at least 12 innings that final week and get you at least a K per inning.
Okay.
So you can get him for a buck this week is my point.
That I can get on board with. I like that. That's a good call.
He's actually been, I gave him his flowers on Monday. He's actually been much better of late. His brother, on the other hand, not so much, but Justin's been a stand-up.
Just to say, if he pitches well the last week of the season, everyone will be happy. You'll be happy. Justin will be happy.
Ben will be crying online. It'll be crazy.
Ben will be happy, and we all want Ben to be happy. So
we all want Ben. We also want Ben Tidd to be happy, who's still in the top 10 in the main event right now as we speak. So that's big as well. Anything else on the Giants? I probably took everything you could possibly dream of talking about.
You covered them well, I will say.
More players than you wanted to hear, that's for sure.
More Patrick Bailey content than I signed up for.
Pat Monahan says, Ryan, to be fair, Don Smith is up to 1.2 B-War for his career now in his ninth season. That's pretty bad. That's really bad.
Wow.
Hey, we got a question real quick before we get on to two steps. Pat said earlier, McLean, when we're talking the Mets, Nolan McLean drafted as a top blank pitcher next year.
Oh man, it's so hard to know. I mean, I could see top 40.
Yeah, I was gonna say
something like that.
There's a big world where he's a top 40 pitcher. Like, he's been really good.
Which is like SP2, SP3, and 15 teamers. I could see that.
I could see it for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Final thoughts on the second to last week of the season before we hit two steps.
No. Nope. Let's do two steps.
Let's do it. We're starting off with the Arizona Diamondbacks, Zachary Gallen versus the Giants versus the Phillies.
Yeah, I'm doing that.
You're doing it. Yep, he's pitched very well. Yep. The A's, Jeffrey Springs at Boston, at Pittsburgh.
Oh, goodness. I will say yes in a 15-teamer. Actually, probably no. I don't think I would do it. Yeah,
Boston starts terrifying. Pittsburgh starts real nice, though.
I know.
Real
nice. I know. It is Jeffrey Springs. Like,
yeah, he's not been great lately.
So. Right. Yeah, I'd stay away.
Yeah, if you need strikeouts and you're not worried about ratios, I'd say roll it, see what happens. But if you care at all about your ratios, I would not do it. Spencer Strider at Washington, at Detroit. Ooh, and he is not good, but that's a hell of a schedule.
Yeah, I mean.
You got to do it.
I think you got to do it. If you're saying you got to do it, then you got to do it.
But he's not good, folks. He's a mediocre pitch. Like, yeah. He's next year. I'm in next year. But right now, he's hit the wall of the post surgery, man. Like, you can tell he's just not the same. Even I was mentioning it recently that over his last start, the beat writers were flat out saying they were crushing his fastball. The only thing he was getting swings and miss on was the off speed pitches. So his fastball doesn't have it right now. So we'll see. Kyle Bradish, if this holds, at the White Sox versus the Yankees, yes.
Yep.
If this holds, Mr. Early versus the A's at Tampa, yes.
Of course.
Cade Horton at Pittsburgh at Cincy, yes.
Yes, that's
Jameson Taillon. Nice. Yeah, Jameson Taillon, yes, we already said that.
Yep.
Zach Lytle at St. Louis, home versus the Cubs. You're doing
God, it. I agonize over starting this guy every week in two of my draft and holds. And yeah, I'm doing it. I mean, the Cubs have been bad lately, and you mentioned how bad the Cardinals have been too. So yeah, I'm doing it, I guess.
Yeah. You agonize every week, and I get the agony, but 3.78 ERA on the season. So he's finding ways to do it.
Not many Ks, but yeah, no. He's been good.
Andrew Abbott at St. Louis versus the Cubs.
Regression has hit this guy hard, but yes, with those matchups, yes, you do.
I agree. Your boy, Kyle Freeland, versus Miami, versus the Angels.
I'd rather start Brown McCabe, whatever his name is, than Kyle Freeland.
McCabe Brown, yeah. He'll actually be two-stepping it next week, so we will discuss him. Oh, he's taking the rotation at Seattle, at the Giants. So get ready. Mr. Sean Burke of the White Sox, Baltimore, San Diego, both at home.
No.
Casey Mize versus Cleveland versus Atlanta.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Mize pitched well last time out. He looks pretty good. Yeah. Good matchups.
Costanza versus Texas versus Seattle. I'm a yes. You're a
no. I could see rolling with Jason Alexander in a 15 teamer. Yep.
I'd roll with him in 12s as well, folks. Kansas City is just a mess right now. They have Michael Walker, who's on the 7-day concussion. He's eligible to return for this, so he could be there. If Walk is there versus Seattle versus Toronto, you start Michael Walker, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
We'll have to see if he makes those starts or not. Kyle Hendricks coming off an absolute gem his last time out. Dude. At Milwaukee, at Colorado. I am not buying that at all.
Yeah. No, not doing that. Yeah. Against the best team in the NL and then at Coors Field. Sounds good.
Yeah, not going to happen. Good luck, Professor. Shohei Ohtani versus Philadelphia versus the Giants.
I mean, yeah,
Would you rather use him as a pitcher or a hitter?
It's all categories. It's all categories. I mean, all being equal, hitter.
Yes, agreed. All being equal, it's always the bats if you can. Miami Marlins, the shell of Yuri Perez at Coors at Texas.
If he even makes both.
Yeah.
It's decent matchups. I could see. Yeah, I'd probably do it in a 15, but he's been rough, man.
Yeah, 15 only. 12, I can't stomach that at all. Milwaukee, Jose Quintana versus the Angels at St. Louis. That's actually a really good two-step.
I know. It's a good two-step, and Quintana just always.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, I'm probably doing it in 15s. I'm not doing it in 12s.
12s if you need wins. If you need wins, 12s easy.
Yeah, no, very good point. Yep.
If you need wins, that's two very good chances for wins. So
agreed.
Simeon Woods Richardson versus the Yankees versus Cleveland.
I mean,
the Yankees aren't alone.
No. Yankees could absolutely destroy Woods Richardson.
Now, if you're in a daily league, go for Cleveland start.
Go for Cleveland. Agreed. Yeah. But no.
Speaking of the Yankees, Mr. Rodon at Minnesota at Baltimore.
Yep.
You're starting every week. But the underlying metrics suggest he's been very lucky. His K to walks even not good lately. Schlitt happened on Thursday night. He gets a two-step at Minnesota at Baltimore. That's a yeah.
Pretty much an auto start for Cam. Yeah. Yep.
Skeens is an auto start. Pavetta's an auto start. Logan Gilbert's an auto start. Carson Wisenhunt at Arizona at the Dodgers. No.
That's your guy. So yeah. No.
Seymour at Arizona at the Dodgers. No, we are so boned when they're pitching four of our seven games. Good God. That's going to be horrible. Get us somebody else up, please. Liberatore versus Cincinnati versus Milwaukee.
You said no Ian Seymour?
Yeah, no, it's Carson Seymour, the Giants. These are both two Giants pitchers. That's why I said Wisenhunt and Seymour pitch four of the seven games next week between.
Yeah, I got all confused. Numbers. Okay.
We're
all
right, screwed. Yeah. Absolutely screwed.
You're done. You're done.
Yeah. The season's over if those guys pitch all four games. I hope not. I hope I'm just being that pessimistic fan. Please, God, tell me I am. But, oof. Liberatore versus Cincy versus Milwaukee. That's a no. Get rid of him.
Correct.
Pepio's yes. Ian Seymour versus Toronto versus Boston, both in Tampa.
I mean, I'd rather Ian than Carson. Yeah, I'd probably still roll Ian Seymour and definitely in 15s.
I would do it in 15s. Do it in 12 if you need chances at wins. It's just very tough matchups. Jack Leiter at Houston versus Miami. That's an easy yes for me.
Agreed.
He's been so good lately. Barrios at Tampa at Kansas City.
I mean, my theory is always just always start Barrios. Take your lumps. Take your highs. It's going to work out eventually.
Yep, that's the way to do it. Gossman, you're playing as well. And then Big Bad, Mitchell Parker versus Atlanta at the Mets.
That's your boy. That's your call.
No, it's Ben Tidd's boy. No, I will not start that two-step.
That's Parker Messick. Jesus. Parker Messick. No, I'm not doing that. Mitchell Parker, I'm not.
I got one non-two-step for you. We didn't discuss him today. We do every week because he got blown up this past week. But are we back on Mr. Mai Tai himself, Martin Perez versus Baltimore?
No. I think Martin Perez has expired.
Fair enough.
Not him, but like his run of goodness has expired. It does every year. Just like he comes back in August every year, it goes away every year too.
A couple things from the chat here. Michael C. makes a good point. Strider's mustache shave, is that the opposite of Samson's hair? We'll see. Britton Allen says he's pumped for the Live Bub on the Bloom podcast. So are we, Britton. So are we.
And we're pumped for Palazzo out there too.
Yes, it's going to be a heck of a weekend for sure. I got a couple questions in the old Discord here. Got to see where Ryan put them. I know where they are. They're where I had them in the update section. That's why I made a comment there. Andy Splinter, for the head-to-head crowd, Ryan, who hits a dinger this weekend and who steals a base?
God.
I'm going to go to the schedule grid now for the top weekend matchups.
I'm going for the current week. I will say Kyle Manzardo hits a couple more dingers. Cleveland gets a really good schedule. I will say Yoan Moncada, too.
Yoan Moncada. Man.
Steal a base. Seattle.
Well, because he probably needs guys you can stream. I was going to say Seattle's got such a great schedule, but most of those guys are widely rostered. Yeah, what do you got for Seattle? I mean, for steals. Sorry. Steals. Sorry.
I forget his name already. Never mind. I'll look it up.
You Okay. If I'm talking
Jose Caballero, that's who I was thinking of, but could be widely rostered. So I don't know.
I think Caballero is a great one facing Boston this weekend. That's a really good one to look to target. For me, if I'm looking for some pop, man, whew. Manzardo does have a good set of matchups versus Cleveland if you need one, but he's probably widely rostered to the points we've made. Most of these guys are rostered already. This is not a fun game. Jesus Sanchez could steal a base this weekend also with the two righties on tap. Keep him in your thoughts and prayers. I'll go with Otto Kemp. Otto Kemp. The Phillies have a nice match. Set a matchup with Lorenzen, Burgert, and Noah Cameron. I think Otto Kemp hits a home run this weekend.
Okay. We'll have plenty of opportunities.
We should have plenty for sure. Josh Bell in the chat from Pat Monahan's a good one as well. And that's literally the only question. We have a picture of Mr. Dingers himself from Little League. Moose in the chat says he likes Yaz to get one or two against Buehler and Taya. Buehler's back on the mound this weekend. So
I just
look to target that one, folks.
Oh God. Why is Walker Buehler?
He's gonna
here we go. We got the walk off.
No, you didn't. Oh, that's sack fly. I thought there was two outs. My bad. Yep, you got the walk-off. Ooh, close play. Still got it. All right, we'll wrap it up there. Mariners win in 12. In 12.
They won in 13 last night, too.
Cardiac kids. Live it up. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up here? Two more fab periods to go.
I got nothing. Good luck to everyone in your head-to-head leagues. This is a big week coming up and this weekend as well. So best of luck. Hope some of our advice been helpful and at least entertaining for you.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it entertaining as the weeks are dwindling and some people just it's almost over. So have some fun with this one and make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrigue. Until next time, this is Bubba and the Bloom episode 276. Catch y'all later.